I was never a fan of dating apps, but after my last breakup, my friend suggested I try Tinder, saying that it would make my dating life alive and fun again. Flying around and swiping random guys left to right when one of the profiles really caught my eye. It was a single pic, very closely taken, focused on the deep blue eyes of Ethan. "Truth is not always what you see through your eyes," his bio read. Out of sheer curiosity, I swiped right. We matched, and eventually, our conversation led us to meet up, face to face. After some coffee at a place near my apartment, Ethan invited me for dinner at his apartment. As we ate dinner in the flickering candlelight, I couldn't help but admire Ethan's face. His emphasizing sharp jawline made my heart skip a beat. His Tinder profile hadn't captured the intensity in his eyes enough. There was a kind of manic hunger in them that sent a shiver down my spine. Yet, there was an undeniable magnetism about him, a darkness that repelled and attracted me. Our conversation flowed surprisingly well. We bonded over underrated art and banned literature. He spoke of his love for Edgar Allan Poe, reciting verses about love and loss with a chilling intensity. As the night progressed, Ethan suggests we move to his balcony. "How about we get some fresh air? You'll love the view from here." I hesitated at first. The small, cluttered balcony felt oddly claustrophobic. But Ethan's smile, boyish and disarming, made me comfortable. The view from the balcony wasn't bad. The city lights below looked like scattered diamonds, but there was something very odd stuck in the air, making me wrinkle my nose.
"Something smells meaty,"
I commented, noticing a covered grill tucked in the corner. Ethan gave a creepy laugh, a hollow sound that made the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. "Just a little lamb burger," he said, his voice too casual. "Family recipe," he whispered with a grin. He lifted the lid, revealing a sizzling patty. My stomach twisted. The lamb looked unnaturally dark, the edges grilled black. Suddenly, I noticed something more on the patty. There was a long strand of blonde hair wrapped around it. I felt like throwing up.
"Whoa, that doesn't look too good. Making me sick,"
I mumbled, backing away. All of a sudden, Ethan's smile disappeared. His eyes narrowed, the charming personality replaced by a cold, dangerous gleam. "I promise you'll love the taste of it. Just give it a try, Monica." The words sent a fresh wave of terror through me.
I don't feel well. I need to go."
"No, you don't," he growled, grabbing my hand with surprising strength.
"What are you doing?"
I screamed, trying to free myself. "Don't you see?" he hissed. His expression was now a mix of anger and desperation. "We were meant to be together forever." The smell in the air intensified, desperate by sheer terror. I wrestled free. I stumbled back, tripping over a metal bucket that was resting in the corner of the balcony. It clanged loudly, revealing its gruesome contents, a bleached skull and several long bones. Ethan raged at me again.
"Monica, don't ruin the food!"
But this time, I was ready. With a rush of adrenaline, grabbing a metal spatula kept on top of the hot grill, I swung it at Ethan blindly. The thudding sound of metal on bone echoed in the night. Ethan fell to the ground, a choked gasp escaping his lips. I was staring at him, the spatula trembling in my hand. Nausea threatened to overwhelm me again, but this time it was mixed with a horrifying realization. The burger, the bones, Ethan's words, they all clicked into place. He wasn't just a psycho, he was a monster who couldn't handle rejection, and I was about to become another entry in his collection of discarded dates. Dazed and trembling, I ran to the lobby outside his apartment and called 911. The image of Ethan's twisted face and the gruesome contents of the bucket made my fingers tremble while I dialed the call. Ethan remained unconscious until the police arrived. A group of them got inside his apartment while I was escorted out by the paramedics. But even amidst the flashing lights and concerned questions, I was not able to shake the feeling of fear. God, I was on a date with a cannibal. The following days were a blur. News reports buzzed with Ethan's arrest. The police had discovered a hidden room in his apartment filled with the remains of young women. Each had matched with Ethan on dating apps, each lured under the pretense of romance. As the only alive key witness, my story is a chilling testament to the monster who hid behind a charming facade. Yet, a part of my mind remained haunted. The lingering smell and those horrific laughs in my nightmares. The echo of Ethan's words, "We were meant to be together forever," served as a constant reminder of the night I danced with death on a balcony bathed in moonlight. It was 9 years ago when I matched with Olivia on Tinder. She was 36, divorced, and living in a suburban area not far from my apartment. At 28, I was just looking for some fun, to be honest, and Olivia seemed perfect. We clicked instantly, bonding over a shared love for classic rock, horror movies, and a mutual disdain for small-town gossip. There was a spark between us, an electric attraction, so to say. "You like the Rolling Stones? No way, they're my favorite band."
"Yeah, I saw them live back in 99. That was a wild night."
We decided to meet at a quiet bar she recommended. I remember the place well, dimly lit, with old wooden booths and a jukebox that played nothing but 80s hits. And then she walked in. Olivia was stunning. She had this effortless charm, a confident gait, and, well, a smoking hot body. We laughed, flirted, and drank more than we probably should have. She was blunt about her intentions. "I hope age isn't a damper. I mean, look at you. You can't be 8 years older to me."
"I'll be honest, Ethan. I like going around with younger men, and I'm not looking for anything. Just so you know, it's a one-night thing."
"Sounds perfect to me." We left the bar, and Olivia invited me to her place. Her bungalow was old, with a Victorian style that looked kind of unsettling under the moonlight. My drunken brain felt a twinge of unease as soon as I stepped inside. The house was beautifully maintained, but had an unnerving air about it. The living room had antique furniture, dark wood paneling, and heavy drapes. But something didn't fit. The creamy, textured carpet, it clashed with the decor, standing out like a sore thumb. "Nice place you got here. Daddy sells oil?"
"Daddy shot himself when I was 3. I got the place in the divorce. My ex-husband was into real estate. Want another drink?"
She handed me a glass of whiskey and we settled on the couch. Her touch was intoxicating, and soon our fingers were exploring each other's while our eyes locked. There was something about her brutal honesty, her charm, and her confidence that had me drunk other than the Jack Daniels. "You have great taste in decor. Very vintage."
"I'm a sucker for antiques. They have a history, a story to tell. Just like us."
"Oh? And what's our story?"
"Two strangers meeting by chance and sharing a night of adventure."
"Sounds exciting. What kind of adventure do you have in mind?"
"One that starts with good whiskey and ends with... well, we'll see."
"I like the sound of that. You're full of surprises, aren't you?"
"Only the good kind. What about you? What surprises do you have up your sleeve?"
"You'll have to stick around to find out."
"I think I just might. So, tell me, what a handsome guy like you doing on Tinder?"
"Looking for someone intriguing. I guess I found her."
"Flattery will get you everywhere."
"Good to know. And what about you? Why Tinder?"
"Not many places for women like me to find young men like you."
"Lively, huh? I can do lively."
"I bet you can. Shall we take this adventure downstairs? I have a special room for my guests."
"Lead the way." But as she grabbed my arm to lead me to her bedroom, a wave of nausea hit me. I stumbled, and before I could stop myself, it came out. I vomited all over the carpet. I remember Olivia's demeanor changing in an instant. She flew into a fit of rage, rushing to grab a mop, her face twisted with anger.
You idiot! You ruined my carpet!
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
I sue it with my hands. The one thing in this house that doesn't remind me of my sick ex-husband. And now, your bile is swimming over it.
Realizing I had blown my chance, I mumbled an apology and hurried out of the house. My head was spinning, my stomach churning. I made it home and collapsed into bed, cursing my capacity for ruining what would have been a glorious night. Now, 9 years later, I saw her face plastered on the news. Olivia, now 45, was arrested. A secret torture room was uncovered in the basement of her bungalow, where she kept young men and tortured them. One of her victims had managed to escape and alerted the authorities. The police found evidence of cannibalism, token parts of previous lovers she had taken, and the final horrifying reveal, a carpet made of human skin. I sat there, staring at the TV in disbelief. The creamy, textured carpet flashed in my mind, and a chill ran down my spine as I realized how lucky I was. When I matched with David on Tinder, I couldn't believe that he'd swiped right on me. He was 27, an Australian globetrotter with an infectious smile and tousled blonde hair. His tan was just perfect. It had to be, because he surfed. And he wore an intriguing blue beaded necklace in every photo. We started flirting over texts almost immediately. So, what does a gorgeous girl like you do for fun on a gorgeous Boston evening like today?
Besides swiping on Tinder, mostly exploring the city and avoiding bad dates.
Oh, you deserve a good one. Drinks tomorrow night? Smooth.
Wow, you don't waste time, do you?
Why waste it? It's the most precious thing in the world. Well, except for that smile of yours. He was good. We exchanged numbers and decided to meet at a pub downtown. The night came and I was nervous, but excited. I arrived early, found a table, and waited, and waited, and then waited some more. Rejected 2 advances from strangers for him, and let a martini sit, hoping that my surfer boy would surface. But he didn't. An hour passed, and still no David. It was then that it dawned on me. He had stood me up. I rushed back to my place. Even my calls weren't getting placed. Frustrated, I texted him.
Hey, where are you? I was waiting for you for over an hour.
I was there at the pub. Didn't see you. See this.
Men and their lies.
For real?
Stop disappointing me further.
You need proof? Here you go. He sent a photo of the pub. It was from the same night, judging by the people and the lighting.
Where were you?
Near the jukebox. Where were you?
Near the jukebox. How could we have not seen each other?
God knows. I was confused. Something didn't feel right to me.
I'm not sure that making up would be a good idea.
His responses caught me off guard. What harm could a coffee do? So reluctantly, I agreed. But stupid me, the same thing happened again. I sat there in the cafe, feeling more and more foolish as time passed. Eventually, I had to get up and leave. I couldn't believe that the guy had made a fool of me, not once, but twice. When I texted him angrily, he simply replied with another photo, this time of the cafe from that evening.
This is ridiculous. Are you messing with me?
No, I swear I was there. Maybe we just keep missing each other.
I tried to call you from the cafe. There was no ring.
I have some troubles with my American SIM card. Need Wi-Fi to make calls. That was it. I wasn't going to be fooled twice. I blocked his number, chalking it up to a bizarre catfishing experience. Months passed and I forgot about David. But then one night, while out at a club with friends, I saw him. The same tousled hair, the same blue beaded necklace. He stood in the distance, almost like a shadow, but I could feel his eyes upon me. My heart raced as I approached him, but he vanished into the crowd. Back home, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. curiosity and a lingering sense of unease led me to unblock David's number. I called him, but again, there was no ring. Surprisingly, a few minutes later, my phone buzzed with a message. It was a photo of the nightclub from that very night.
What the hell is going on?
Just wanted to see you again. I owed you some answers. Anger surged through me, but before I could respond, another message came through. This one was a newspaper clipping with David's picture. The headline read, "Australian surfer, fourth victim of the Boston Barbie, matched on Tinder the night before his poisoning." My blood ran cold. I stared at the clipping, which proclaimed that David was dead. He had been dead for months, murdered by a serial killer. My hands trembled as I typed a reply.
This isn't funny. How are you sending these?
Thank you for liberating me. My phone buzzed again. This time, it was a photo of me, taken from behind. I was sitting on my couch, staring at my phone in horror. Every hair on my body stood on end. I gathered the courage to turn around, expecting to see someone standing there. But there was no one. Instead, on the floor, where no one had been a moment before, lay David's blue beaded necklace.